You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hear a lot of it today. Welcome on a Wednesday.
It's my house.
Yeah, it's my house. We're going to talk about insomnia today. Now, I don't even... What is the definition of insomnia? I think I made it. I'm pretty confident. Insomnia is a sleep disorder that is characterized by difficulty falling or staying asleep. That would be me. Not so much falling, but staying. People with insomnia have one or more of the following symptoms: difficulty falling asleep, waking up often during the night, and having trouble going back to sleep. Waking up too early in the morning. Yes, I have those. All right, so we're going to talk about that. What causes insomnia? Anxiety, stress, and depression are some of the most common causes of chronic insomnia. Having difficulty sleeping can also make anxiety, stress, and depression symptoms worse. Other common emotional and psychological causes include anger, worry, grief, bipolar disorder, and trauma. So there you have it. So, I was, about 10 days ago, I know it was before the 5th of August. I know that because that's mentioned in the email. So I'm reading, and I come across an article about a woman by the name of Anne Germain. And it's in military.com, and it's about sleep disorders are up 652%. Yeah. Are you kidding me? You look at that, and you're like, wow, that's interesting. That's a pretty big number. So you check it out. And since 650% since 2003. So the article talks about a 14-year study by the Sleep Research Society. And the study analyzed insomnia with combat exposure in 1.3 million military people. The study ran from 1997 to 2011. The study found a trend that spiked considerably during the 2003 invasion of Iraq, indicating a direct association between the disorder and exposure to combat. In the 8 years following the invasion, the rate of insomnia, which is known to increase the risk of cardiovascular issues, diabetes, stroke, depression, anxiety, skyrocketed 652% among military personnel. The DOD has awarded a $2 million contract to a company called Nocturne, which Dr. Anne Germain is the co-founder of. She's the CEO and co-founder of it. And so they're doing a trial on a sample group of 800 sailors and Marines, which is the most extensive sleep trial the DOD has ever conducted. So there's an article about it in Military Time, written by a guy called J.D. Simpkin. So, Anne has been, she's a University of Pennsylvania person, and she is a researcher there. So we're going to find out about her. I'm sorry. Yeah, University of Pittsburgh person. So we're going to find out about her, her background, how she got here, and really what's the basis of this. And the article in military.com talks about the problem with traditional face-to-face treatment plans. These therapeutic treatment methods are designed to steer clear of medication, which I think most of us appreciate, right? Is that accessibility can be challenging for those who live in the rural areas. So, right, how do you scale this thing? How do you get it to them? Also, how do you get it to people that are deployed? So, she and her researchers at the University of Pennsylvania have developed an app and via that app, they can actively engage with their clinicians anytime, anywhere. So the app's going to be delivered to the 800 sailors and Marines in the trial this fall. And so we're going to talk to Anne here, and she's going to make us smart about, I mean, a problem that just about, I told a story last week, kind of a humorous story, about I was awake at like 3:30 in the morning a couple weeks ago, and Andy Milburn sent me a text saying he was going to be out here, but he's not going to be able to have lunch because he's just got too much stuff to do. He's got his daughters out here and yada, yada, yada. So at 3:30 in the morning, I get this text. He's on the East Coast, right? Mac, I'm not going to be able to have lunch. I just can't swing the time, yada, yada, yada. So I sent back a single word response designed to be humorous. And he texted back, what are you doing awake right now? And I said, who sleeps the night? And he said, you're right. I don't know. None of my friends. So I think I would just say this. I mean, it's pretty commonplace certainly for my friends, to struggle sleeping through the night. And so I'm interested in what she has to say about sleep. And especially since it's not a drug related event, right? That it is it's some other treatment. You know, what can you do? What can you teach me? What do I need to do? I used to have this thing I would do and I'd close my eyes and I would find them. This is going to sound stupid, but this is what I did. And it worked because it worked for me. I would, with my eyes so my eyes closed, I didn't even know what happens when you close your eyes? Nothing. Your eye just stays put. It doesn't like roll up or anything like that. I don't even know. So anyway, I'd close my eyes trying to go to sleep and I would focus on the darkest spot in my eye. So you close your eyes and, you know, you still see color. And I would find the darkest spot in my eye, right, with my eyes closed, and I'd stare at that. And that would work sometime. So, that was my technique. So I'm curious. So I thought we would have Ann on, and we would let Ann make us smart about a wellness practice. And Lord knows we all need them. Let's see what else. Other exciting news. So that's what we're going to do today. Other exciting news. I'm in the process of cutting up the interview with General Mattis. And what I do is I take my voice out of it. And so I kind of reduce it in length and you'll hear him talk and then a beep and then you'll hear him talk again. And you'll hear him talk again. So I'm in the process of doing that. And I have to say this, that when you listen to the interview like I did again yesterday, it's really a great interview. I mean, the basic stuff that he talks about. And I will tell you this, I think one of the problems that impacts suicide is this notion of we don't have formations anymore. And so you come in the military, we pass information, you don't get exposed to the most senior enlisted leaders. They don't impact your life on a daily basis like they used to. And so you're led by, you know, relatively junior people. And that's not the way we've ever done it. That is not the way we've ever done it. And so, so you're not welded to the organization. That which used to bind you, the love of somebody, the oversight of somebody, the watchful eye, hey, come here, stupid. What are you doing? So, So I in listening to him talk, I mean, he says very, very basic, right? Very, very basic, yet profound things. And one is the one I play every day. If you don't love them, right? If you don't love them, then you should get out. And what does he mean by that? If you don't know them, if you don't know their dreams, if you don't know their aspirations, and that all comes from what? Sitting down and talking to them. But if your primary mode of communication is we're going to transmit what we do by text message, right? You're creating space between you and the people that you lead. Now, again, that's a tool, and when you got to do something short fuse, you should certainly do that. But if we don't have to do that, then we probably shouldn't, because when you get everybody together, that's when you notice that somebody's struggling. And so if you're not doing that, somebody can struggle. And again, in distilling what post-traumatic winning is, again, I've said the last couple of days, but post-traumatic winning attacks two problems. One is ignorance. You just don't know anything about living with trauma because it's not something you get a course on in grammar school, high school, college, or any place. And so, the people that go through it, they tend not to share with, you know, unless you go seek it out. So everybody does it for the first time. The twin issues of post-traumatic winning is the ignorance piece I just discussed, and the other part is isolation. Is that, you know, I'm unique. Nobody can understand what I'm going through, right? Both false premises. You're not unique. Well, you are maybe a little bit, but the majority of you is not unique. You're a human, male or female, or whatever. And you're living on this planet, right? You're probably working. You might have kids. You might not, right? Both of those have large statistical numbers underneath them. And there are millions of people dealing with what you're dealing with. And so I think there's a realization that in spite of what they've told me about me being this absolutely unique snowflake on this planet, which I think feeds into a narrative that nobody could understand me because my problems are so unique. Therefore, I'm not going to talk about them because nobody could understand them. When you eliminate that and say, you know what, you're not that unique. Maybe a small part of you is very unique. Okay? No doubt about that. But the vast majority of you is pretty typical. And you'll fit into one of these major groups of people. And the cool part about that is they're dealing with the same problems and you can learn from them. You can take the good things they do and you can learn from them. And so, I go back, if you haven't read or listened to a book called The Art of Not Giving a Fuck, do that. And it talks about this whole fallacy of we're all so unique and what that feeds into. And I think it's pretty interesting. I think it's pretty true because young people today get fed that nonsense, you know. And then when you combine that with the problem of isolation, that in a culture that's more connected than ever, right, we don't communicate. You see more and more people that feel like they're just completely isolated from friends. And it's, you look at it and you're like, how can that be? Well, you know, I often say that freedom, real freedom, is a savings account. Like, you can't tell your boss to go to hell and walk out the door if you don't, well, you could, to your own detriment, if you don't have a savings account. So you're not free. You're an indentured servant to that business because you don't got a choice. Now, if you got a savings account, you got a choice. So freedom is a savings account. How can it be that in a modern world where everybody's connected, you have more isolation than ever before? Because those devices, while they transmit information, it's not communication. Communication's a whole lot more. It's being near somebody. It's seeing what they look like. You send somebody a text and they say, how you doing? Right? You say, how you doing? They say, I'm okay. Right? You see them and you immediately look at them and say, what's wrong? What's wrong? And so, I'm getting a text message for somebody who's asking me how to build a slide. Anyway, How do you embed audio into a slide? Anyway, so I have to teach that today. But yeah. So, and it's the same thing like in military units. Well, our formations, we pass information. No, that's not all that you do. You look at people. You see how they're doing. You inspect their uniform. You ask them about their family. And all of a sudden, the most senior people in the unit aren't doing that anymore. And so you can see that how this, I mean, honestly, you start thinking about it. And, I mean, to me, you know, the facing movement down to the path that leads to very destructive behavior is isolation. And you can see that the military is allowing people to be isolated by virtue of the way they do business on a daily basis with this misplaced notion that our formations just pass information. We can pass that as efficiently via text message. Therefore, we don't need to waste our time with that stuff. Yeah. Wrong. Wrong as wrong could be. What you need is you need to force that collision on a daily basis of senior people that care about junior people, that help them solve problems, that spot problems, and make it good. Make it good. So anyway, interesting thing. So Andrew Main's going to join the program today. Yeah, and then putting the final touches on going to the Air Force Academy next Tuesday and Wednesday. So motivated to do that and trying to help them see what we can do to create some audiovisual product so that people that don't get there that will find out afterwards that, like, yeah, you should have missed that one. That was a good one. They're like, oh, now what do we do? Yeah, you could bring me back. So anyway, but so the balance is how do you create something without having it get put all over YouTube and all the rest of that stuff. So working on that with them, and but excited to go there, and then do it for 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines, a week from Friday, and so right now, in a week I'll be at the Air Force Academy today, and then a week from Friday, 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines, and I fly to the East Coast, and do some more stuff with the 2nd Marine Division, catch some people that haven't seen it, essentially, doing that, so please send that up, and hopefully, some other units are going to be there. 3rd Infantry Division coming up from Fort Stewart to take a look at it. And then, hopefully some units from the 2nd Marine Air Wing. So, spreading the gospel of post-traumatic winning and, the coolest job in the world. And I'm trying to employ other people. They may not get paid, but you can still get all the benefits from it. Which is not a bad deal. Which is not a bad deal. So good morning to you on the 14th day of August, the year of 2019. It's going to be a cool show today because I'm excited to talk to today's guest. Yeah, Anne Germain. So Anne Germain, AnneGermain. The company's called Noctem. Noctem. Noct as in nocturnal. Em. But I looked on social media. They've got a website, but they're not on Facebook, and I didn't see them on Facebook or Twitter, oddly enough. So anyway, they're a research company and doing good things. Anyway, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes this Wednesday official. Hooah. doing that. So last night, I'm transposing, I'm typing up. I'm typing up a quote from General Mattis. And so, I can't remember which quote it was. Which number is it? Let's see. Anyway, let me just say, maybe it's, no, I can't remember which one it is, but here's one of the quotes. So I had to play it over and over and over again.
No, I didn't. The Marine Corps required us to read. They expected us to learn. You've got to learn this.
So I'm trying to type it. And so I just put it on a loop. And I get like, you know, a part of a sentence every time. And then I got to listen again and listen again and listen again and listen again. Well, Mac, isn't there audio software that you can... Yeah, don't go with it. It sucks, okay? Right. As one of my former punk-ass Marines told me, that stuff sucks. So that's why the National Anthem just played twice. All right, this is dedicated to Andrew Mann and the people who do a lot of work to try to help veterans. And honestly, I mean, I truly appreciate it because I think when you talk to most veterans, nobody wants to be taking medication for the rest of their life to sleep. Nobody likes that stuff. So to the people that are trying to find solutions to these kind of issues that have plagued veterans for decades and decades and decades, well, for probably centuries. No, probably, what am I talking about? For centuries. God bless them. Thank you for the work that you do, and looking forward to talking to Ann today. So this is dedicated to all of them. Thanks.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines... It shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never... shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
if you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, Infant Soldier Infantry, Young Soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, CFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the weather now. The Brian Fitzgibbon weather update. Yeah, dedicated to my buddy Fitz, who loves when I do the weather. Cloudy and 87 in Quantico, Virginia, and in the northern Virginia area. Virginia. It is partly cloudy and 91 Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. Hey, Mac, why do you say Lejeune? There's no R in that word. Okay, let me say it again for the last Mensa that asked me this. It's the way the family pronounce its name. Okay, my name isn't McNamara, it's McNamara. Okay, it's not McNarama, it's McNamara. It's not McNamara either, it's McNamara. That's the way my family pronounces our name. There's no R in the sign. Shut up, stupid. All right, where was I? All right, Marine Corps Base 29 Palms got a weather warning out there. What the hell's that for? Sunny and 87 degrees right now, and now I'm curious about the weather. Like, it's going to be hot. Excessive heat warning. Actually, I have two weather warnings. Only one showing up on my display. That's troubling. There's a local pollen alert. Let's dig into the excessive heat warning in 29 Palms. Excessive heat warning remains in effect from 8 a.m. this morning to 8 p.m. Friday. High temperatures across the Mojave Desert will range from 108 to 114 degrees today through Friday. And in the Death Valley National Park in the lower Colorado River Valley, temperatures will range from 115 to 125. Yeah, there you have it. So, yeah, but it'll be a dry 125, just so everybody knows, so don't worry about it. All right, at Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, foggy and 65. dark, cloudy, and 78 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. Okinawa, same as it has been. Dark, cloudy, and 83 there. So that's going on in Okinawa. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is mostly sunny and 111. Nice. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is it's cooled off. Holy smokes. Dark, clear, and 91. Get the blankets out, folks. It's getting cold in Afghanistan. Currently in the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is no weather report from Montana today. Not sure why. Cloudy in 66. And it hasn't been beautiful out here the last 3 weeks. Looking for a high today of 82, 82 tomorrow, and 79 on Friday. That's a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and check a whole bunch of news stories, interesting stuff in the news today, so we'll cover that. And Jermaine's going to join us at the top of the hour. And we're going to talk about insomnia, something that certainly impacts my life. And so article written in Military Times caught my eye, and she's been gracious enough to say that she would join us. So looking forward to doing that. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good,
but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. Of this heartbreak, I'm gonna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah.
Davis. She's autographing CDs, sending them to Marines that she met out at MCRD. She's fired up about it. Alright, we'll check the news. Nothing really in Stars and Stripes that I wanted to talk about, so sorry about that, Stars and Stripes. Listen to this. I made a slide yesterday. Somebody asked me, hey, could you help me with something? I said, sure. Could you make a slide that has some of the headlines that you covered about the bad things that have happened ethically in the last couple of years? I said, sure. So there's 11 items on the list. Okay. Of the 11, seven have happened in the last, have come to market the last 2 months. So, call these discipline / ethical challenges in the military. Okay? The Fitzgerald collides on 17 June. Okay? Also in June, Staff Sergeant Logan Melger is found strangled to death in Mali. Two Navy SEALs, two Marine Raiders charged in his death. In August of 2017, the USS McCain collides with the Alnwick MC in the Straits of Malacca. All right. Now, those are 1, 2, 3. Okay, so items. So the other 8 items from July and August of this year. July of 2019, 3 former Green Berets sentenced in a 2009 cash theft scheme in Afghanistan. Number 5, U.S. Navy SEAL Chief Eddie Gallagher found not guilty of murder, July 2019. SOCOM announces an entire U.S. Navy SEAL platoon has been sent home due to misconduct, July 2019. SEAL Team 10 members admit to cocaine abuse, lacks testing, July 2019. Naval Special Warfare Group, Reed SEAL, right? Commanding Officer, we have a problem, July 2019. SEAL Team 6 member charged with impersonating someone to get nude photographs, July 2019. 18 members of the 1st Marine Division arrested and charged with human trafficking, July 2019. SOCOM announces, Special Operations Command announces another ethics review, August 2019. I mean, how crazy is that? All right, stories. Navy prefers fielding revolutionary combat capability through new weapons rather than new hull designs. Okay, so we talked a little bit ago, I want to say last week, when we were listening to the Navy confirmation stuff, and actually it was General Berger's confirmation that we were listening to, but you can't listen to Marine Corps stuff without listening to Navy stuff, right? So it got into the whole procurement process with ships and, you know, can't build them, you know, within the budgetary estimate, can't build them on time, and the impact that this has. So, this is a story about that. The Navy is striving to field revolutionary combat capabilities in ships and through midlife modernization, but it can do so while keeping risk low by focusing on the new weapons and systems rather than radical new hull changes, the program executive officer for ships said, noting the previous challenges with revolutionary ship designs such as the Zumwalt-class destroyer and the littoral combat ship, Rear Admiral Bill Galinas spoke in praise of the evolutionary approach that adds new capabilities while still leveraging mature and therefore less risky ship hull designs. I would argue that this is the kind of approach where we as a Navy, in ship construction especially, have probably been a lot more successful. Don't confuse the evolutionary approach and predictability with complacency, because nothing could be further from the truth. And we're looking every day, working with our counterparts on the CNO staff. The mission requirement set is changing significantly, especially for our service force. And as we start thinking about the kind of next generation platforms, how do we leverage that evolutionary approach that will get us to a revolutionary combat capability? Anyway, so again, the problem is the dollars associated. How do you do it? And then how do you buy enough platforms, right, to get out there? That they don't, you know, yeah, this is what you want, but you can't afford it. Other news. Two U.S. warships and Marines denied port visits to Hong Kong while the protest. That sucks because Hong Kong is a fun place to go. Hong Kong, one of my top three cities in the world. Hong Kong, New York City, San Francisco. All similar. Very cosmopolitan, great food, spectacular things to see. Yeah. To get the so to get Hong Kong crossed off the list, that sucks. Chinese officials are denying two U.S. warships port visits to Hong Kong amidst ongoing protest against the government in Beijing. The USS Green Bay, LPD-20, the USS Lake Erie, guided missile cruiser 70, were denied requests to visit Hong Kong, U.S. Fleet spokesman Commander Nate Christensen told USNI News yesterday. The Navy has a long track record of successful port visits to Hong Kong, and we expect them to continue. We refer you to the Chinese government for further information about why they were denied. The Green Bay is part of the 31st Marine Expeditionary Unit based in Okinawa. So, yes! Sorry, man. No Hong Kong for you. Elsewhere. The Pentagon, we talked about the death of Marine Gunnery Sergeant Scott Copenhafer. I don't know how I pronounce his name. Right? He was killed Saturday. The initial announcement said he was killed by enemy small arms fire. On Monday, the Wall Street Journal reported that military officials were investigating the possibility that he was killed by friendly fire. The DOD yesterday cautioned people. All right. So, anyway, not sure what actually happened, but the DOD is walking back their original story, so we'll see. We'll see. That sucks. There's a story a few months ago of a PFC. This is how stupid social media is, right? So a Marine PFC, reserve type, gets like a bunch of his stupid buddies to stand with their boots in the shape of a swastika. He takes a picture and posts it online. Remember that kid? Yeah. A Marine reservist lost a rank Friday, more than 3 months after he shared a photo on social media of Marines posing with their boots in the shape of a swastika. PFC Anthony Schroeder, with 4th Air Naval Gunfire Liaison Company, right? Anglico, for the record, based in West Palm Beach, Florida, was reduced in rank to private. The punishment was first reported Tuesday. Marine Force Reserve began investigating Schroeder after the image appeared in the Terminal Lance website. Schroeder's command declined to detail his punishment, saying only that the appropriate administrative action was taken. So again, right? Marines behaving badly and the repercussions it has now in this world where literally 50% of the stories that you see on a website on a given day are not really about the substantive work of any organization, but they are the clickbait that goes along with that organization, right? And at the end of this article, right, there's a summary of other racist and Nazi-like things that have happened in the Marine Corps. In June, officials said Lance Corporal Mason Mead, an infantry assault Marine with 1st Battalion 3rd Marines in Hawaii, the lava dogs, if you will, would be discharged after admitting to advocating supremacist ideology. Mead shared several Nazi-themed posts on Twitter, another showing himself in blackface. In February, two members of the 3rd Marine Air Wing were under investigation after a Snapchat video emerged showing them in blackface, masked, making disparaging racial remarks. There you have it. So, again, sorry about the A-10. The A-10 is an interesting platform, right, for all you aviation geeks, but much revered among the United States Army as just a monster in close air support. But the Air Force seems to always be trying to get rid of it. And so with modifications, now the A-10 will be around until at least 2030. And expect that to be extended. And there's a story about it, but for whatever reason, it's not coming up. Also, Associated Press story about 16 hours old. Man arrested outside the Pentagon had a shotgun and bourbon in his car. Pentagon say a Kentucky man with a shotgun arrived at the government facility last week, told officers he had driven through the night to attend to Liberty business there. Charles Lawson of Pineville, Kentucky was arrested and charged with unlawfully possessing a firearm after previously having been committed to a mental institution. Court records say Lawson arrived on the afternoon of August 6th, approached two Pentagon police officers, and made incoherent statements. It says police then questioned Lawson, who disclosed that he had a weapon in his car. Police searched the car, found a loaded 12-gauge shotgun, an 18-inch machete, shotgun shells, and a bottle of Jim Beam bourbon. He was hospitalized, and a doctor told local police that Lawson mentioned he was previously diagnosed with schizophrenia. Amazing, right? But we don't think mental health's a big issue in the country. Right. Top five stories in early bird real quick. Number one, Pentagon Watchdog says it is reviving the $10 billion war cloud contract over misconduct allegations. Of course they are. Number two, Pentagon walks back enemy fire statement as mystery still surrounds the death of a Marine raider in Iraq. We discussed that. The A-10 re-winging is now complete. It will keep the warthog, the warthog in the air until the 2030s. So, for whatever reason, the Air Force Times website is down and that article is just popping up. Imagine that. The re-winging of the venerable attack aircraft, popularly known as the Warthog, is expected to allow it to keep flying until the late 2030s, according to the United States Air Force. Upgraded wings should last up to 10,000 flight hours without requiring a depot inspection. And they have an improved, newly designed wire harness to make the wings easier to remove and lessen the chance of damaging the wing during the removal process. The aircraft accounts for about 61% of the Air Force, roughly 282 Warthogs. Boeing received a $1.1 billion contract in 2007 to build replacement wings in its Macon, Georgia plant, and that work began in 2011. So that's good news. No, the Army loves that platform. I've never actually seen it fire in person. I would love to because the video I've seen, yeah, that's a pretty nasty platform from what I've seen on video. All right. There's a story about, it's out of a Virginia newspaper. The captain of the USS Harry Truman fled Iran as a child. And now the Truman is heading towards Iran. How crazy is that? Only in America, right? Yeah, you would see an American, like, right, that emigrated to Iran that's on an Iranian aircraft carrier off the coast of the United States. You just don't see that kind of crap. But the aircraft carrier skipper fled Iran as a child. Now he's preparing to deploy amid heightened tension. So, interesting story about a captain, Navy captain by the name of Kavon, K-A-V-O-N, Hakimzadeh. Yeah, Kavon Hakimzadeh. Anyway, he's the CO of the USS Harry Truman, so good luck to him. Number five, Special Forces unit member killed in Niger, honored for his bravery. He was honored with Sergeant First Class Jeremy Johnson, was honored with a posthumous Bronze Star with Combat V. And so, again, that crappy story. One of the story that I want to talk about before we get Anne Germain on, and that is the Pentagon rolls out a new program for spouses. More than 2 years after the official announcement, the Military Spouse Transition Education Program is ready for prime time. The program, currently available only online through Military OneSource, looks to empower military spouses with the information they need to help their service members and family transition into military life, says Eddie Metzer, former director for Children, Youth, and Families in the Pentagon's Military Community and Family Policy Office. Eventually, Metzer said, the Military Spouse Transition Program will contain a series of short video lessons designed to address three spouse life stages: new spouses, spouses whose service members are in mid-career, and those getting ready to leave. Wow, that doesn't sound like much, honestly. It sounds like a big flash, and then I read that, and I think, really? That's it? All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Andrew May is going to join us, and we're going to talk insomnia. Yeah, I've been fired up to do this interview for a while, so don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home fort, the All Warrior Radio Network.